Let's continue in prayer. Lord God, thank you for this beautiful day, this amazing weekend, for the colors of the trees and the sounds of the birds honking their way out of town. Thank you, Lord, for this gift of life. We acknowledge to you that it's sometimes way more difficult than we ever imagined it could be. We pray this morning, especially for those who are struggling. We pray, Lord God, for this world that we live in that sometimes we get really worried about, anxious about. We wonder, Lord, about tomorrow. Help us in these moments to put our faith and our hope in you, to trust you, that we might venture forward from this morning, shining with your light and with that hope that you give us, that not only shines for us, but God, we pray, would shine through us in this world, giving hope and confidence to others that you love them, that you love us, and that you are faithful to your promises. God, grant us ears to hear your word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So the kingdom of God is coming. Have you ever seen one of those signs, you know, the end is near? Well, what does that make you feel like when somebody says that, you see that? I was looking through some old sermons recently, and I noticed one several years ago in which I mentioned that just the two nights before I had driven by a big billboard. Maybe you saw it. It said, the world is going to end on Saturday night at 6:20 p.m. And, of course, I was preaching on Sunday morning. Once again, it didn't end. The kingdom of God is coming. And there are those people who keep on saying, I figured it out, I got the code, you know. And scriptures are pretty clear. I shouldn't say pretty clear. They're very clear. You're not going to figure it out. You can't tell other people when it's going to happen. And yet the question keeps arising, especially in the Gospels. We find Jesus, in fact, begins his ministry by saying, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. That this fundamental fact of our faith is true. The kingdom of God is breaking into this world. And in fact, in Jesus' ministry, Jesus' incarnation into this world, that's the kingdom of God breaking into our world. And so several times in the Gospels and in the book of Acts, Jesus is asked, okay, is this the time when, you know, the kingdom of God is coming in fullness? And here in chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus is asked again by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming. And he answered, the kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is, or, well, he says, for in fact, the kingdom of God is among you. Or it can be translated within you. You know, the people are always saying, well, is it tomorrow? Is it later? And Jesus, no, it's right now, right here. The kingdom of God is among you right here. Jesus is here among you. And now we have the Spirit of God is among you. And one of the things we need to be very clear about is that we're not just waiting for the kingdom of God to come. The kingdom of God is right here, right now. And part of the invitation of the spiritual life is to pray that God would help us to have eyes to see what's already happening in our midst. That even in the midst of the most difficult times, God's here. He's at work. And in fact, we can be a part of that good work being done. The kingdom of God is right here among you. I mentioned it sometimes it's translated within you, and we need to be a little careful with that. I like that verse. I like that translation because I do believe the kingdom of God is within me. The Holy Spirit dwells within me. But that verse has been taken out of context of the rest of the scriptures oftentimes, especially in American culture, just to kind of put out a warning there for you. American culture in general, kind of our religion, is that every one of us has the spark of the divine within us, that all you really need to do, you don't have to come to church, you don't need to open up the Bible, you just need to get in touch with your inner self. You know, the kingdom of God is within you. And if you just do that, you'll be okay. You'll come alive. You got to pick and pull a few verses here and there to make that argument out of the Bible. You can't just be spiritual and not religious, in the sense of being spiritual and not connected to the body of Christ in the world. You can't be spiritual and healthy without eating of the Word of God, taking in the nourishment and the guidance of God's Word. You can't do it on your own. Much as we like to say in our culture at times that you can do it all on your own. That really goes back to the first sin of Adam and Eve. You know, you could be like God. Just eat. Just believe that. You know, don't believe it. We actually need God. Who, by the way, is not you or me. We need God, the greater God who created us, to help us, to save us, to redeem us, to grant us the grace of the Word and of the fellowship and of the help we need to grow as the people we were created to be. So the kingdom of God is right here. It's among you. It's within you. And it's not here in all of its fullness yet. You might have noticed that for all the ways that if your eyes are open, I was at a funeral here yesterday. I mean, just a wonderful 89-year-old woman, Jeannie Mason. Many of you knew her. She's been singing. She was in our children's choir when she was turned 12. Started singing in the sanctuary choir at 18. She was singing within the last couple of months. How many years is that? 89? Over 70 years she's been praising God and helping us to worship God. I mean, what a wonderful thing. Anyway, somebody at the funeral yesterday was telling me, well, you know, I'm going to go off on a little riff for a second. I'm going to stay with Jeannie for just a second. One of the speakers mentioned how this church, Salem Covenant Church, raised her in the faith, helped her to know the love of God and to connect with God and with God's church and to become a part, not just to receive the grace of God, but to be a part of sharing the grace of God with the community and the world beyond. And that's my prayer for these children. We're still, I mean, that was 80 years ago, Salem Covenant Church did that for Jeannie Mason. I want that to be Salem Covenant Church today and tomorrow and 20 years from now and 50 years. That's who we're called to be. What a joy. You know, we had our confirmation retreat last week, and we had some of our students make first-time commitments to Jesus Christ. I mean, isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? We got kids. We had 13 of them singing in the other worship services, leading us in worship. That's the kind of church we are, we've been, and by God's grace we will be. The kingdom of God is among us. Good news. And I guess where I was going was to say it's not quite here in fullness yet, if you hadn't noticed. We've got a few problems in our world. We're still waiting for Jesus to return and to make all things right, to bring that justice and that mercy, that peace that we long for. Many of you here this morning, I mean, you're struggling in your own lives. You're talking to somebody else yesterday who is just sharing how it feels like life is just cascading in upon her and her family. I mean, one more person is sick. One more challenge is being faced. This is just one thing after another. Some of you, I know, are feeling that way. And we wait for the kingdom of God to come, for his fullness of peace and of blessing in our lives and our world. And Jesus speaks to that as well. In this passage, he goes on, chapter 17, verse 22. Then he said to the disciples, "The days are coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it." You know, the kingdom of God is coming. You're going to long for it. You're going to look at your nation. You're going to look at your world. You're going to say, "Oh, God, help us." And you'll long for his kingdom to come. They will say to you, "Look there," or "Look here." Do not go. Do not set off in pursuit. For as lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. You're not going to need a billboard telling you, oh, by the way, Jesus is back. You're going to know it. I mean, have you ever been outside when the lightning has flashed? Have you ever said, no, I didn't see it? You see it. You know it. It flashed. You can't miss it. And that's the way Jesus' return will be. You don't have to wonder, like, did he come back last night? I'm not sure. When he comes back, you'll know it. And Jesus goes on to say, therefore, you need to be ready now, because just like the lightning flashing out there, I mean, have you ever been out there with your friends and said, okay, we're going to time it. It's going to flash now. Oh, okay. It's going to flash now. You're very unlikely to get it right? But you'll know it when it happens. We can't do that with Jesus. We can't say, oh, he's going to come back tonight, so we better be ready today. We don't know, but we'll know it when it happens. And so Jesus makes it very clear, be ready and stay ready. Keep on venturing forward. Keep on flapping those wings. Keep on taking your next step in faith, because he is coming back, and you need to be ready. Do not lose heart. In fact, today's parable, the gospel lesson is, keep on praying. Keep on trusting. Do not lose heart. Listen to what Jesus says here, Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming to me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? See, the kingdom of God is coming. And the call for us is to believe this good news. And to keep on believing this good news. To keep on praying continually. And to keep on persevering. To not lose heart. I had a colleague. I was at a meeting a few years ago. Another pastor was sharing about his sabbatical. Some of you might remember that 2 years ago we were blessed to receive this grant from the Lilly Foundation. My family and I went off to the Mediterranean to swim in the warm waters of the Mediterranean. And this colleague talked about going up to the Bering Sea to go swimming. He took on some different experiences. He went to an improv class for a while. He wanted to stretch himself in different ways. And one way he dreamed up to stretch himself was to go scuba diving in the Arctic waters. And he talked about how, he got on that boat out there in the ocean, and they had put on this suit on him. And, had this helmet, all these things to keep him warm, goggles, and this breathing apparatus. And before it's time for him to jump into the water, the dive master looked him in the eyes through the mask and said, panic equals death. Now go have fun. Panic equals death. It's a good line to keep in mind for a lot of things in our lives, isn't it? For him jumping into that water, the point was, you got to keep breathing. You might get scared and stop breathing. Just, it's all there for you. You've got everything you need. You're going to be okay, but don't panic. Keep on breathing. Keep on breathing. And for us, in our lives, that means keep on praying, keep on praying. That's what Jesus is saying here. You may get nervous. You may think, I can't, No, no, just take a deep breath. Breathe. Pray. We were talking about this at our confirmation retreat last weekend. Had the students sit there for a minute with their hands open. It's that receiving, receptive stance before God. And just to take a deep breath and then to breathe it out. Breathe it in, breathe it out. And then to allow that breathing to become a prayer. This is something we can all do in our lives. We should do. Let our breath become a prayer. For the Holy Spirit to fill us, for God's presence to fill us. And even to flow through us into the world. I can't think of a more important prayer, really, for us to be praying. Don't panic. Just remember, keep breathing, keep praying. We take time. I would encourage you to take time in the morning to practice breathing when you get up. To practice praying when you get up. So that when you go out into the world, you keep on breathing. You keep on praying. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about when he says, pray without ceasing, pray always. It's that ongoing recognition that we can practice that God is closer to us than our very breath. Believe the good news. Keep on breathing. Keep on praying. You know, for this guy that jumped into the water, I'm sure the dive master is telling him, stay calm. It's going to be challenging. You won't be able to see very far in front of you in the midst of that ocean. Stay calm. And for us, again, when it comes to our lives, our spiritual lives, to keep trusting, keep trusting. Stay calm. Keep trusting God. You're going to be okay. You've got everything you need. You know, we're told in the scriptures that he's given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The promises go on. Keep on trusting. Keep on breathing. Keep on, did I mention that already? Keep on breathing. Keep on praying. Can I say that enough? Keep on praying. To pray continually, Jesus says here in this passage. To stay steady. You know, like those geese. Steady does it. We'll flap our wings one more time. We'll take one more mile for us in our lives. To stay faithful. To keep on venturing forward, trusting God. Not just to trust God enough to kind of cringe back, but to have the confidence to be faithful and to take our next step in serving God. And then finally, I think about how for this friend, it was that call, you know, to just be bold. Just jump into the water and go for it. And for us too, it's not just be bold, but it's pray and be bold. You know, for us to pray that God would give us the courage, the faith, the love, really, to be bold. To follow God, not with that just timid spirit. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy that God has given us not a spirit of timidity, not a spirit of cowardice, but of power and of love and of self-discipline. That we would pray that we would venture forward with a sense of boldness to follow God, to be a part of the kingdom of God breaking into our world today. I love this passage from Acts chapter 4. You might remember the story that leads it up to this. Peter and John heading into the temple, and there's this crippled beggar on the side who cries out to them for money, and Peter says, sorry, just don't have any money. You know, I do have something for you, and he, in the name of Jesus Christ, heals him. Well, thousands of people come to hear good news of Jesus Christ. What's the power behind what's happening here? And the religious leaders get upset about this, and they call Peter and John before them, and they listen to what they're saying. And then in verse 13 of chapter 4, it says, now when they saw the boldness, there's that word boldness of Peter and John, and realized that they were uneducated and ordinary men, they were amazed and recognized them as companions of Jesus. Oh, I long for that to be what people say when they see us. I can tell by the way you're acting, by the way you're speaking. Can you imagine in this world right now, in our politically charged, divided society right now, that people would see in us not just the answer to all of our problems, saying, oh, vote for this one because that one, you know, but that they would see in us the character of God. People who are not panicking. Are you kidding me? Why would we panic? We've got everything we need. We need to keep breathing. We need to keep trusting. We're going to stay faithful. And we're going to be bold in living out the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. People will see here at Salem Covenant Church that even in the midst of all the tensions of our world, we're companions of Jesus. We're practicing love in our relationships, even with our enemies. And I'm not just talking about those people overseas. I'm talking about, you know, your political enemy. Can you imagine how different that would be if we in the church treated people who thought differently than we do with respect? They saw that they were companions of Jesus. When they saw the man who had been cured standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. So they ordered them to leave the council while they discussed the matter with one another. They said, "What will we do with them? For it is obvious to all who live in Jerusalem that a notable sign has been done through them. We cannot deny it." That again leads me back to the church I want to be, and I believe we are, and just want more and more of it, that people might disagree with the gospel that we're proclaiming. They might say, "I'm not ready to commit my life. I'm not sure that I believe, but I can't deny that something is happening. The kingdom of God's breaking in, that good is being done, that love is being expressed through Salem Covenant Church." That's what I long for. Can't deny that. Well, they're told by the religious leaders they can leave, but they threaten them, "Don't talk about Jesus." And they say, "Well, you'll have to decide whether you think it's okay for us to, you know, do what God's telling us to do or not, but we're going to do what God's telling us to do. We're going to step forward and proclaim the gospel." And so they're released, and here comes the prayer. I want you to hear this. They go back to the community of people, and after they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard it, they raised their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth, the sea and everything in them." You notice how in this prayer, they're remembering who they're talking to. God above all. That's who we're praying to. When you're praying, you can pray with a bit of confidence. Bit of confidence. The one you're praying to is the creator of heaven and earth. It is you who said by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, "Your servant, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples imagine vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers have gathered together against the Lord, against his Messiah. For in this day, in fact, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." When they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. There's that word again, boldness. You know, Jesus says in Matthew 6 that God, he clothes the flowers of the field. He cares about the birds that fly through the air. He cares about you. Jesus says, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, his right path, and all these things will be yours as well. You know, it's appropriate for us to pray about all these things. I talk to God all the time about what's going on in life. And, you know, I really would like this to happen or that, but I trust you, God. But, you know, but I talk to him about what I'm hoping, what I'm anxious about. But the thing I need to pray for the most, and I would invite you to join me in praying, is not so much for all these things that God already knows I need, but the thing that I need most. And that's the boldness to follow Jesus. The boldness to believe the good news. The boldness to keep on praying. To persevere, not just in prayer. We talk about that, you know, persevering in prayer. You know, you've got to keep praying. But it's what we really need is to persevere through prayer. Prayer is that breath that energizes us, that allows the Spirit to fill us so that we go forward in boldness. We pray. We don't need to keep praying so that we keep praying. We need to pray so that we'll step forward through the challenges and the opportunities. And often we don't know which is which. We think it's a challenge, and it is, but it's also an opportunity to live faithfully, to be a part of the good news of God being made known in word and in action. We need to pray for ourselves that we will be bold. Panic equals death. Breathing, that's life. Prayer, that's life. That's God. That's inviting the Holy Spirit. And may God grant us the boldness to keep on praying, to not lose heart. And in fact, to be bold. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that we can trust you. We thank you that we can worship you, that we can have such a wonderful, beautiful morning like this to gather in your presence, to be encouraged by one another, to sing your praises, and to hear your word. And God, as we have worshiped you this morning, help us now through this offering, and help us now as we venture out into life. Help us to do all of this with boldness, God. Trusting your grace, trusting your Spirit, and joyfully, confidently being a part of the kingdom of God breaking into our world. God, help us to be a part of that boldly. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.